Today, how planning, property, and Austral collided. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Well, this post covering finance and property news. Today, I want to take you to a suburb down towards Liverpool on the outskirts of Sydney. It's postcode 2179, Austral. It's a very interesting suburb because it's subject to significant changes already happening and ahead thanks to the planning. In fact, this was subject of a recent piece of research that I did using my one-to-one service. And I'll remind you that the analysis is based on the current information and it may change ahead. And it's a point in time piece of thinking. This, of course, is drawing information from my core market model, which includes all of the household surveys. And it's quite interesting just watching how some of those play out. And for those of you who have not come across it before, we take data around mortgage stress, the price trajectory, the history, the buying and selling intentions, migration, the economic data. All of that goes into the core market model. And it gives some views about the scenarios ahead. Now, I was asked to look at Austral because it is an area that is under significant change at the moment. And it's really important to understand where that change is coming from. But let's start with just summing up where Austral is. It's a suburb in the state of New South Wales. It's 42 kilometres southwest of Sydney. And it is in the area of Liverpool. Austral and Leppington North have been rezoned to accommodate significant population growth, and around 17,350 new homes are planned across the precinct. More than 2,000 lots have been registered, with something around 175 new lots being registered each quarter. The population of Austral in 2016 was 3,024 people. By 2021, it had grown to 6,847 people. That's a population growth of 126.4%. And we see a predominant age group of 30 to 39 year olds. And that includes couples with children. And people in Austral tend to work in professional occupations. 67.8% of the homes in Austral were owner-occupied. Here's a map just showing where it is relative to the surrounding area. And you can see that 15th Avenue is one of the main roads that runs across Austral, and Emerson Avenue running north to south. And as we'll see, the pivot point for the development of Austral is at the junction between Emerson Road and 15th Avenue. Worth noting, if you go back in history, Austral emerged in the early 19th century. It was the colonial land grants and small retail holdings. And it was actually a locality named after the Austral Banking and Land Proprietary Limited, who donated land for a school in 1891. The school name Austral became the local place name, and the suburb was officially gazetted in 1972. And if we look at where it is now, through the 1900s, it remained largely peri-urban and agricultural. But it started to change, and actually the area's street grid and numbered avenues reflects the expectation of its rural to suburban evolution. And here are some recent photographs. And you can see that wherever you go, you find auctions for sale, plots all over the place. It's a bit of a mess, really. But there are also some larger lots, older lots, and a lot of these could be, of course, subject to subdivision later. There are already some new developments, some new streets, but a lot of it is still blank, a really blank canvas. In fact, wherever you look, construction is being spoken about. Now, it's worth, I think, highlighting the fact that Austrel sits within a fast-growing outer southwest corridor of Sydney, where new estates and adjacent suburbs contribute to rapid demographic change. I want to underscore just how quickly this area is changing, and also how the culture is changing. It's culturally diverse. Around half of residents were born in Australia. Significant communities originate from other countries, including Iraq, Nepal, India, and multiple languages are being spoken at home. And religious affirmation remains relatively high compared with inner Sydney. Now, we need to understand the future development because Austral sits within the New South Wales growth area and the Liverpool-Camden precincts, targeting urbanisation and new housing. The precinct planning envisages tens of thousands of new homes across Austral and Leppington North with a stage lot registration and development. Now, there's the thing called the Indicative Layout Plan, the ILP, implemented by the Liverpool City Council. And Liverpool actually controls and coordinates the estate layouts, the parks, the drainage and staged infrastructure. And there are, of course, major infrastructure projects, including the Western Sydney International Airport and associated road links. And that is acting as a catalyst for the whole Southwest Corridor. And those projects are expected to increase local employment for activity and demand for housing in suburbs like Austral. So I think we can expect continued population growth, rising demand for family housing, and a shift from small acreage rural lots to medium density and estate style living. As we see, the plans are, well, pretty amazing. There is a long-term transformation, therefore, in this area. And the 15th Avenue, Edmondson Avenue corridor is emerging as a key spine for future retail mixed use and higher density residential development. The corridor is already seeing early development activity, including land releases, home and land packages, and infrastructure investments such as borehole drilling along 15th Avenue. Just to give you an example of the current development activity along 15th Avenue, there are multiple estates and land releases. And here are a few, 415 to 425 15th Avenue, 47 new homes planned. And the borehole drilling suggests road widening or reconstruction, new city upgrades like stormwater, water and telecommunications, and also work for future public transport corridors. And in the future, there are plans for local shopping centres, mixed-use zones with shop, top housing and community facilities. So this means that as Austral transitions from rural to suburban, higher density forms are expected near key intersections and transport corridors. That includes townhouses, low-rise apartments, shop, top housing, and of course, yes, the old high-rise there too. In fact, marketing for new developments already reference future retail hubs, improved transport and proximity to the airport, which of course is about developer expectations of increased density. So that means that there are some interesting implications for current property owners. Those who might hold property in the right areas might do very well because the value of that property is likely to go up. Owners of large lots may be able to subdivide, but longer term residents may experience loss of rural character, increased traffic and construction activity, more noise and density, and frankly, a complete change in its environment. And also, we're going to see infrastructure delivery as well, like roads and drainage, changes to driveway access and street frontage, all those things. And that often leads to higher council rates, stricter building and development controls, requirements for connection with utilities, and owners planning renovations or rebuilds, which may lead to new compliance standards. Now, it's worth just noting, looking at where we are now, there's a high supply of new products. Austral has hundreds of active house and land packages and many new estates listed by major portals and developers. And the price banding is interesting. Typical home and land packages in Austral are listed from around $700 to $1.3 million, depending on the lot size, facade and inclusions. Larger acreage or prestige lots command multi-million dollar prices. Most new lots, though, offer around 300 squares or maybe slightly bigger, a few larger lots at 2,500 squares, and also medium density terrace and attached dwellings, particularly in the precinct approved areas. And here is an example of the layout planning for Austral, and it's worth highlighting here across the centre, 15th Avenue and the intersection street. This area here is the epicentre, where you can see retail and commercial and high-rise and higher-rise zoning in the immediate area. This is a dramatic change to this particular part of the area. And of course, you can argue that because of Western Sydney International Airport and Aerotropolis, the aviation-related land use controls and noise safeguarding measures will also influence where higher sensitivity housing can be intensified. And there are also road upgrades and motorway upgrades as well. Now, there are a bunch of planning issues and risks, because obviously the question of staging and infrastructure tends to lag, and that actually can create slower price growth and maybe actually affect resale values. This is a long-term project, not something which is going to be fixed in a year or two. Aviation noise and land use constraints potentially are also to be thought about. Flight paths and noise contours associated with the new airport may restrict intensification in some areas. And of course, there's also a sensitivity to interest rates and construction costs. As with all greenfield growth areas, affordability and developer margins are sensitive to financing costs and materials prices. Those factors influence the pace and pricing of new releases. So how does that plan out? Well, in the near term, 1 to 5 years, you're going to see continuous supply of home and land packages, and that'll keep product choice high. Pockets closest to the new transport links and planning local centres will see the stronger buyer demand potentially and faster price growth, but also big supply. And then further out, 5 to 15 years, you can perhaps see the demand for both owner-occupied and rental housing increasing. But longer term, 15 years on, there will be some land scarcity. And here are a few examples of recent developments. You can see here just a few. Price package, lot size, very small, 300 squares, 330 squares. I mean, these are very, very small plots, down to 244 squares there. And, well, it is a bit of a mess, frankly. Who wants to live on such small lots? Now, as things are changing, the crime is changing, and we need to consider the fire and flood risks too. Let's start with crime. Austral is rated as a moderately safe suburb. Crime exists, and it may impact some people, but it has increased. That's partly because, of course, the population is increasing, and you can see there the top criminal rate and the top crime rates are listed there. Here is the trend over 5 years, and it's gone up. No surprise, given the increased population growth. And there are recorded incidents which includes theft and assault. By the way, the broader Liverpool LGA data indicates mixed trends across offence types. Some property offences are down in parts of New South Wales, but retail theft and other categories rose. Now that, I think, can be sheeted back to rapid population growth and new estate development, and that can change crime statistics. If you want more information, go and check the BOSCAR data, which is quite interesting. Now we're going to look at bushfire risk, because this is quite important. The bushfire-prone land is mapped and certified by the New South Wales Rural Fire Service. You can go online and check it out, actually. And there are specific lots with significant designations in the area. Austral contains some mapped BFPL areas and surrounding rural vegetation, which can be a risk. That means, of course, you've got to think about insurance and also preparedness for fire. And it may also put some controls on construction. There may be a requirement for construction upgrades, asset setbacks, or vegetation management. And that can affect both the build cost, the design, and approval timeframes. Flood risk is another one to watch. This is very important too, because there are significant risks in parts of Austral. Some pockets are low risk, but others are affected by overland flow paths or nearby creek systems. The Austral Kemps Creek area in particular faces a number of flood-related problems, which are unusual and arise from a number of natural and human-imposed features of the land. It's a large flat area, of course, and changes to land use have not really caught up with the flood management that's required. I go on to highlight here that the area's relatively small nature channels and wide floodplain, which means that there are risks. The difference in flood depth between a 5-year flood and a 100-year flood is actually relatively small and generally is only 0.5 meters. Oh, and the wide floodplain covers a relatively large proportion of Austral, with around 30% of the land flood prone. Now, this is an important comment. It does appear from the council's files that residents are unrealistic in their expectations of the level of service can be provided by rural drainage schemes, and that's resulted in considerable pressure on council officers to deal with perceived flooding problems, which are in fact part and parcel of the normal operation of the rural drainage system. The frequency, depth and velocity of floodings means that actually development could be a bit crimped. There were earlier proposals to channelise the trunk drainage system in the Austral Kemps Creek area, but actually not clear quite what's going to go on next. And the road system is generally consistent with the rural nature of the area and low population density. The road system has two features which are characteristic of rural roads, which was called concern to the community: frequent flooding of creek crossings, which prevent access for a few hours during typical flood events, and also nuisance flooding associated with table drains. Now, the New South Wales Flood Data Portal and the New South Wales SES mapping provide some important insights. And here is just a little bit of an insight. You can see here across Austral, there are areas where flooding is quite a high risk. And some of that, going back to the 15th Avenue cross, well, it might be away from it, but on the way in or the way out, there are flood risks. And if you go further south, you can see that the Austral area is, well, risk of flooding quite broad. As a result, you've got to think about development controls. There may be additional planning requirements. There might be floor level minimums or even restrictions on certain uses. And there are also implications for insurance and resilience, because flood-exposed properties typically attract higher flood insurance and may require resilience measures. So it's important to confirm the flood classification for the exact lot below for purchase. So just to recap on all of those risks: crime up, there are bushfire risks, and there are flood risks. And interestingly, as I've looked at this, it seems to me that agents are really not being very helpful giving good advice to people looking to buy in the area, but flood, crime and bushfire risks are pretty significant. Now let's look at property trends, because that's the next thing we need to dive into. And there are around 12,300 properties in the areas. It's been a significant rise in value, about 72%. Units have seen a 65% increase, and here is the story. And you can see there that there was a very big rise in 2018, a bit of a fall in 19 and 20, and then small rises ever since. So prices, on average, are around $1.1 million in the area. If you look at units, they've gone up from 614,000 back in 2017 to around 967,000 now, with significant rises in 24, 25, and 26. And you can see here that there are around 5,200 households, 2,900 are borrowing, 55%, so a lot of people with mortgages, and there's about 26% renting. And there's a lot of mortgage stress and rental stress in the area. and overall financial stress is also pretty high. Mostly houses, but some units as well, you can see there. And the people ratio is quite high because this includes people with families. The vacancy rate's on the high side, but the gross investment yield is just 3.3%. The net investment yield is negative. People are losing money on investment properties in the area quite largely. The taxable income data from the model, the ATO reported in 22-23, the average individual about 86,000, and the average household 115,000 with the multi-flag. That means that there are multiple incomes going to pay the mortgage, and a typical disposable monthly income is around $7,400, with 41% going on the mortgage, $3,120, and 36%, $2,691 a month going on the typical rent. In terms of house price growth, in the best case scenario, I can't see much in the way of future growth, and more falls ahead likely if we do get a recession or stagflation in Australia. And from SQM, it's worth noting that the number of properties listed has shot through the roof. And you can see there that under 30, 30 to 60, 60 to 90, 90 to 180. But interestingly, over 180 days, there's a significant rise in this postcode of properties listed. I think that signals unrealistic expectations on behalf of some prospective vendors. And SQM just shows the mix here between houses and units. Still a lot of houses, but units are becoming more and more part of the mix. And SQM provides some quite good information here in terms of asking prices, as you can see there. The rental information is also quite interesting too, and I do think that the yields are so low because there is a bit of a cap on rentals that can be offered and asked in the area. And I will just highlight that there are around 100 properties for sale currently in Austral at the moment. And you can see that they're quite widely spread, but including some on the famous 15th Avenue. And that includes a lot of lots. These prices seem quite sporty to me. And then you've got a lot of properties, including land for sale, some built, and then some homeland packages as well, as you can see here. So there's a lot of stuff coming on the market. Homeland packages, homeland packages, homeland packages. You get the drift. In terms of what has sold, well, according to the data that I'm looking at, around 16 properties were sold in the last 8 weeks in Austral. And you can see there that they are not necessarily in that central area, but around the north and the south of it. Small count, very small count, actually, of sold properties. Here's just a few examples. These seem to be properties that actually have been developed and sold. And if you want to get more information, I remind you that you can go to the Valuer General and you can inquire directly from there. And here is just a quick snapshot of all the properties that have been sold and cleared from the beginning of 2026 over the last 3 or 4 months. And you can see the price ranges vary quite considerably, depending on whether it's just land or whether it's a home. But you can see there that there is a bit of a trend of prices for land, 750 plus. And for properties, well, you know, 1.2, 1.3 quite often. So bringing all this together, what does this tell me? Well, firstly, this is an area which is under massive transition from a semi-rural environment with large lots, very low density, to an area that is being transformed into, frankly, a high-density honeypot. Massive subdivisions going on at the moment. Significant infrastructure investment required, some of it going on. But also a suburb that is completely changing its character. That means, of course, that people who are buying in today are buying into something which is unclear as to the future developments. And when I talk to people about this area, quite often they're surprised about the amount of planning and the amount of development which is underway or planned. Check out those plans. Bushfire risks are quite high in some areas. Flooding risks are quite high in some areas. And the crime rate is rising as well. As for whether this is going to be an area where you would want to live, well, I have my doubts. It seems to me that it is following the model of some other suburbs between Sydney and Liverpool, where you have high rise close in, significant higher density. The infrastructure is not developed sufficiently to be able to cover all of the traffic that's going to go through the area. And it also puts some question marks in my mind about properties further out and the characteristics of those properties ahead. So, to my mind, this is a classic example that shows you what happens when you have the collision between an existing area, significant desire from the regulators and from the government to build more, and from property developers to be able to capitalise on that, and the hope that people will want to come and buy lots in this area to be able to enjoy this new wonderful thing that's being developed, except I'm not sure that it's as wonderful as perhaps people might think it is. So a bit of a warning for people thinking about buying in this area: do your homework, make sure you understand the current and planned zoning, make sure you understand the current situation with regard to things like bushfires, flooding, and also the crime situation too. And be careful not to overpay, because as more supply is coming on, the chances are that prices will not rise that much. And of course, if you buy a property and develop it and live in it, it's no longer new. And potentially the next suburb down the road in a few years' time will be the next new suburb. And it's a bit like buying a new car. When you drive it out of the showroom, you lose value immediately. Well, I think a lot of people here will lose value. So what this speaks to me is be cautious, be careful about this particular area. One amongst many, by the way. But because I've done the work on this one, I'm using it as an example of what happens when all of those forces collide.
Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultants standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer.
I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.